book of Genesis, chapter 8. I knew it was one of the chapters of Genesis. I just couldn't remember which one. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 is where we'll begin reading today. Our study is a new start. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 through 9:13. Will you stand as we read from the precious Word of the living God? Just prior to this, Noah has gotten off the ark after spending his time and over a year trapped in that boat. Noah has just gotten off, and this is the first thing Noah does. Verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered a burnt offering on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. And then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So God blessed Noah and his sons, and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs, but you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Surely, for your lifeblood, I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast, I will require it, and from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God, he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, as for me, behold, I will establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I will establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Greg Long, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. It's interesting, and I want to go back just a little bit and build for where we're going, okay? In Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1, God made the statement, or the Bible makes a statement. It says, God remembered Noah. It's interesting in that when we think of remembered, it means I forgot about something and somewhere down the road I remembered. That's not what it means, as it's used in the context there in 8:1. As a matter of fact, it means to act on someone's behalf. So to put it as plainly in our language would be, God began to act on Noah's behalf. Now, It also says in that same verse that God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters subsided. That's where it gets really interesting, because the wind, the word that's translated wind there, is the same word used in Genesis chapter 1 where God said the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters of the deep. It's the same word, the same construction. And the reason I point that out to you is because I want you to understand what God is doing here. God didn't just blow a breeze over the water and blow away the rain, blow away the flood. Literally, God is doing the same thing in Genesis 8:1 that He's doing in Genesis 1:2. He's making a new beginning, okay? As a matter of fact, the Spirit, this could be translated, and I think would actually be a better translation to say that the Spirit of God passed over the earth. Okay? So, as we look here, I want to establish what God is doing. He's making a new beginning, a fresh start. The good news is God's not done at this point. Have you ever been to that point where you just needed to start all over? I have. You know, good times and bad come to that point where, Lord, I just need to start all over. And I thought as I was preparing this message, I thought, you know, I don't have a clue how many people will be here today that need a new start. But you know, God is the God of a new start. All right? And so as we look at this today, I want to tell you how to get that new start, that fresh start, okay? And we start with a starting point. You got to have a place to begin. And the first thing I want to do is review Noah's past. Noah has been through a lot prior to where we just read in chapter 8, verse 20. I mean, he has been down the road of hard knocks. So far, he spent the last 100 years building a boat. Sounds like fun, right? God said, Noah, build a boat. It's going to flood. Noah said, what's a flood? So he begins to build this boat, and he spent 100 years doing it. He's built this boat that's 450 feet long. That's a football and a half, a football field and a half long. This is a big boat. 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, three stories in that ark. I mean, just to put it in our perspective, it has the capacity of the equivalent of 522 railroad cars, box cars. That's a big boat, right? And guess what? Black and Decker had not been invented yet. Noah did it by hand. He cut, chopped, and nailed, and hacked, and he spent 100 years doing that. And on top of that, as the ark was prepared, God also gave him other instructions. He said, Noah, get the food that it's going to take for you, your family, and all the animals. Now, I can't imagine how many animals or how much food it took to feed the animals. But that was Noah's job too. Noah, prior to where we begin reading, was a preacher of righteousness. 100 years he was a preacher of righteousness. Can you imagine this? He had zero converts. I want to tell you what. I love to preach. I love being a pastor. But I can get downhearted sometime. After a few years without any converts, I'm going to be questioning, Lord, what's the point? Yeah. Noah spent 100 years, no converts. And he has spent 378 days floating around in this ark. I can just imagine the conversation. Noah's wife says, Noah, what you going to do today? I'm going to feed the animals. Next day comes up. Noah, what you going to do today? I'm going to feed the animals. For 378 days, Noah has been feeding the animals. That's been his existence. Finally, the water has gone down. The ark rests on Mount Ararat. And Noah comes out of the ark. You know what the first thing he does? First thing he does, he didn't kiss the ground. He didn't run out and enjoy the great outdoors. The first thing Noah did was built an altar to praise his God. I find that very encouraging. Okay? You see, he didn't come off that ark and say, "I'm sorry, God, but I just need a break from you. Give me a little time, I'll be better in 6 months to a year, 3 years, 5 years down the road. We can do something else. But as for right now, God, I'm done." Noah didn't come out of the ark and say, "I've done my part. I quit for good." I don't know how many times I've heard people who go through the struggle of ministry and they come to that point in life where they say, "Well, I've just done my part. It's time for somebody else to step in." You better be careful. Because when God gets done with you, you're done. Okay? Noah didn't come off that ark and forget the God who saved him like we often do. We pour out our hearts to God during times of trouble or being times of difficulty in ministry. "Oh God, help me through this. Help us through this." And we get through and we say, "Praise God, that's over." And we forget. Noah didn't do that. Noah started off right. He built an altar to honor the God who delivered him from the judgment of the flood. I want to tell you something today. If you want a new start, you often hear people talking about, "I need a fresh start. I need to start all over." And oftentimes that's very appropriate. But I want you to understand how to start all over. If you're going to start all over, you're going to have to start with God, or you're going to wind up in worse shape than you were in the beginning. The place to start is God. I see, you know, in the world today, we see so many New Year's resolutions. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to give up these bad habits, and I'm going to, and it doesn't last. If you want a new start, the place for a new start is God. It's when you get down on your knees and you praise God for who He is. Because I want to tell you something. You are where you are by the grace of God. Do you realize that God could have removed you from a long time ago? Do you realize that the reason, and you may be going through that particularly difficult time of ministry. You know, it's been hard to be a child of God because your faith has been challenged. But do you realize you've come out the other side by the grace of God? What am I saying? I'm saying God is worthy of your praise, your honor, and your glory. Give Him the credit for the God that He is. If you're going to go forward, you've got to know where you've come from and you've got to know why you got through it. And the reason is God. You got to have that starting point. Second thing you've got to have is a standard. You've got to have a standard. And as we continue to read there in chapter 9, God changed, first of all, changed their dietary restrictions. I find that really cool. Do you know why? Because up to this point, it was seeds and weeds. Oh, it's seeds and herbs. I'm sorry. That was the diet. Salads. Now, I love a good salad. Don't get me wrong. Salads are great, but I'm a steak man at heart. Grind me some pork and give me some sausage. Yeah. I get really excited. You say, "Brother Doug, why did he check?" You know, there's a lot of different theories, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on it. I'm just going to point out, praise God, He changed their diet, because I do love the meat, right? But what I do want you to take notice of is the command He gave, which seems quite strange. The command that He gave is to appreciate life. "Whoever sheds man's blood," He said, "by man, his blood will be shed." And the point to this whole part there is literally, life is precious. And you say, "Brother Doug, we know that." We should know that. However, somewhere along the way, man had lost his respect for life.
You go back into Genesis chapter 4 and you can read the story about Cain, how Cain slew his brother Abel. Then it grown from there and Lamech killed a man in the latter part of chapter 4. And it goes on to the point of chapter 6 verse 11 that God says the earth was filled with violence. That's injurious behavior. It wasn't safe to go outside anymore. There was no respect for life. I'm not sure the point they were at that point in time is that far from where we are today. As we look around, I have to ask myself the question, how do people do what they do? How could someone possibly walk into a movie theater and open fire? How could people walk into a church and just open fire and kill people? You know, I don't get it. But I think the bottom line is our society has lost a respect for human life. Okay? It has. There's no other explanation. Now God says at this point, He addressed that society. He said, whoever sheds man's blood by man, his blood shall be shed. He gave the answer. They had lost respect for human life. Therefore, those who are guilty of murder, let them be killed. Now, I realize that there are those today who think they have a much better answer, but I'm a firm believer. This has not been rescinded, and God's way works. It always has worked, and it always will work. You want to know what will cut down on the violence of our society? Is if we apply God's standard, and when somebody walks into a theater or a church or someone somewhere else and opens fire, we take that individual out and we put him to death. And I guarantee you, he will never again be guilty of such a crime. Oh, it makes sense. God's way works. You see, there's got to be a standard. A standard where we value life. See, that's one way you know whether you're in a cult or if your religion is real. It's the value of life. And the Muslim religion, I don't get it. I don't get it. A religion based upon death, killing, murder of innocent men, women, and children. How could this be the standard of your life? Sad. Sad. That's why I do believe in the death penalty. That's why I do not believe in abortion. Amen. You see, and like I said in the beginning, I'm not sure they were that far from where we are. But we've got to have a desire to protect and cherish life. People, you know, look at a baby. Man. And listen, I know I have a new appreciation for babies since I've become an old timer and become a grandparent. I get that, okay? But doesn't change the fact you look at a baby and you know what you see? You've got to see God. You've got to see God. Now you may be here, you may be one that's here today and you're in that position of, I don't know what I'm going to do because I'm dealing with this pregnancy and I don't know how to deal with it and I don't want, listen, you can't undo something. You can't unspill milk. Here's what you need to understand. There is a life inside of you. Okay? And that life was made in the image of God. Don't go to some clinic and tell them to kill that baby. Don't you do it. Don't you do it.
Two wrongs will never make a right. Don't you do it. You see, if you're going to live a life, you've got to have a standard. And that standard has to include a value for life. That's why I don't believe in mercy killing. What do they call it? Euthanasia or something like that. You see, I don't think it's okay when people get to that point where they're no longer profitable members of society. You know, that it's okay to put them to death because they're ill or because they're sick. And I know there are people that say, I want to die with dignity and I don't want to face that disease and let it just destroy me. But I want to tell you what, here's the thing. God is God. You don't know what God has in mind for you during the course of an illness. Okay? You don't know the lives that you're going to be able, that you would be able to touch during the course of that illness. You don't know the people that you would draw to God by seeing your faith through that illness. Okay? I don't believe in euthanasia. I don't believe in suicide. Oh, Brother Doug, it's my life. I'll take it if I... No, it's God's life. You are not your own. You're created in the image of God. But the whole point at this point is it's like God was trying to instill in them, we've got to have a respect for life. This should even cause you to respect and value your own life more. By that I mean don't waste your life. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know? Paul is talking to you. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? You know, there are a lot of people today with inferiority complexes. And I think we all deal with that from time to time. We don't measure up. The fact is, none of us measure up, right? And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I want you to realize how God looks at you. You are the temple, the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. And I want to tell you what, God does not dwell in a slum. Okay? Value the life that God has given you. Not only should we value our own life, we should value the lives of one another. By that I mean appreciating one another and realizing God has put us all here for a reason. We all have a purpose on this earth and we all have a responsibility that we should love one another and appreciate one another for who we are. Value life. Appreciate life. John chapter 13 verse 34. Grab this. Are you listening? Everybody listening everywhere. If you're listening, say amen. Amen. Say, Brother Doug, I got this. All right, here we go. John 13:34. You want to value life? Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. You want to value life? Love one another. Brother Doug, you don't understand. That guy's hard to love. Love him anyway. They're hard to love up there in the balcony. Love them anyway. Love them. Value life. Ask Beth. Brother Doug, Beth's husband's hard to love, but she's learned to love him through the years. Yeah? Right. Value life. Because you see, when you value life, you'll begin to have a passion and a desire for life. Does that make sense? You ever notice those people who just walk around, oh, woe is me. How you doing? Oh, I was good, but I got over it. You ever heard that? Oh, no. You want to have a passion for living. A passion for serving. You know, my prayer life, I realized this some time ago that... I wasn't as fired up as I should be. You ever been there? And I wasn't as so my prayer life for the last month is, Lord, light my fire. Lord, put a passion in me that should be there. Passion for preaching, a passion for ministering. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not that I don't like, I wasn't discouraged, but I knew that fire was not there. Passion. passion. A passion for life. A passion for protecting life. And a passion for living. You see, that's where you go from a new start. Then you need security. I love this. As we read about the covenant. You know, a covenant is an agreement between two parties. And it's very interesting, this covenant that God establishes, because God's the only one that promises to do anything. Did you notice that in this covenant? God said, I'll tell you what, I will never again flood the earth and destroy the earth and all flesh with flood. I make a covenant with you, Noah. And Noah, here's all you've got to do. There was nothing. There was a Noah, if you'll do this, I'll not destroy the earth again. Noah, if your family will do this, God just said, do you see the grace there? God even said, I know the heart of man. And I know every imagination of his heart is evil continually from his youth. But God said, I'll never destroy the earth again. As long as the earth as long as there's time, there'll be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. I love that verse because it kind of throws those off. Have you ever heard people say, you know, in the last days, the Bible says you won't be able to tell one season from another? No, it don't. No, it doesn't. Says there'll always, as long as the earth remains, there'll be seasons. Cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night. But I love it that this covenant is based solely upon God. And it reminds me that God is a covenant-keeping God. When God says it, you can take it to the bank. You know? If God says it, it ends, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter who likes it, who dislikes it. If God says it, that's it. God is a covenant-keeping God. And He said, not only am I going to make this covenant with you, He said, I'm going to give you a sign of the covenant. And it was a very visible sign. God said, I'm going to set my rainbow in the clouds. And every time I see that rainbow, I'm going to be reminded of the promise that I've made to you. Have you ever noticed how that when we see a rainbow, we think it's something? Like, wow, a rainbow! And we'll all run outside to look at that rainbow. Have you ever wondered why? And we're like, ooh, that's pretty. That's a full rainbow. Isn't that neat? Yeah. Have you ever noticed how excited? I think we have an excitement that we don't understand. You see, we think it's a beautiful thing. We think it's a cool thing. But deep down inside, we're reminded that's the signature of God's covenant. That's God. That's God. And Lord help us, it does not represent gay and lesbians. Okay? I wonder the first time Noah thought that or saw that. I wonder what he thought. I know what it meant. I wonder what he thought. Did he think, "Wow, God"? You see, if God didn't put that up there, every time it thundered, they'd have been scared to death. But from that point forward, they had a covenant, and a covenant was signed by God Himself. You ever wondered, do we have a covenant today? See, if you're going to make a new start, not only do you have a place to start, not only do you have to have a standard and appreciation for life, you've got to have a security for the future. You need to know where you're going. You know, you need to know where you're going to be when you get there. You need to know how to get there. Do you realize we do have a covenant? And we have that covenant available to us every day. When we open up the Word of God, this book is divided into two parts. There's the Old Covenant and there's the New Covenant. Old Testament, New Testament, that's what the word Testament means. Do you realize if you want to see God,
Open this book. Because see, in this book, you're going to realize that there are promises like John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again to receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. That's a promise. You ever get downhearted? Feel like it's not worth pressing forward? Open the Word of God. Open the Word of God and read 1 Thessalonians 4:15. For this we say to you by the Word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord, this is where it gets good. Are you ready for good? This is where it gets good. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we'll always be with the Lord. You see, the promise is there. Everything, what I want you to get, everything that's written in this Bible is a promise, a covenant of God. And He did not say one thing in here that He'll back up on. Including John 3:16. See, John 3:16. Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you realize that's a covenant promise? You see, I said in the beginning, if you want a new start, you've got to start with God. John 3:16 is where you start. You start by calling upon Jesus Christ to make Him the Lord and Savior of your life. I mean, let's face it. You've got to figure out what you've done so far has not worked. You ever been there? You know, tried to do something, tried to do it, and it won't work. But you keep trying, and for some reason, you keep expecting it to turn out differently. I want to tell you something, folks. It will not turn out differently without God. You start with God. And then you build upon God. You begin a daily walk with God, realizing that God is a covenant God who has a high standard for your life. A standard to bring honor and glory to Him. A standard that makes life worth living. And a security, my goodness. You know, the good news is, we don't have to be afraid if we're a child of the King, right? I may not know what tomorrow's going to turn out, but I know who has tomorrow, don't you? I may not know what's going to go on next week, but I do know where I'm going. Do you have that assurance? If not, will you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior today? Maybe you're already saved, and you know, every once in a while we save people. We're peculiar folks in that we fall off the wagon every once in a while. You know, I mean, you know, we sit out with the best of intentions. First thing you know, life overwhelms us and we just kind of fall away, for lack of a better point. And I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about losing that closeness with God. Do you realize, and get this, you do not have to continue in a distant relationship with God. Okay? That invitation comes out. Come unto me, you are weary, heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You may be saved and you need a new start because you've kind of become lukewarm. Let God go. You don't have to live this way. God says, come. Maybe you're here today and you need to become a member of this church. The Lord's been leading you to follow Him as a member of this church, or to follow Him in scriptural baptism. Let me ask you a question. What are you putting it off for? What are you waiting on? If you know that's what you're supposed to do, I understand. Okay, I'm not trying to talk you into anything. But if you know it's what you're supposed to do, you're not going to be right with God until you do what you're supposed to do. Amen? Does that make sense? Okay? It's time for a new start. Time to get God out of the back seat, put Him in the driver's seat.
Whatever your spiritual need today is, Jesus is the answer. Will you listen? And will you respond? Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You for the privilege of looking into Your Word. We thank You, Lord. Wow, we thank You that there are times of a new start. And that Your grace is always present. And You're faithful and just to forgive us when we confess our sins to You. And so, Lord, I pray for those in this service today who need a new start. Maybe it is the life that's been wrecked by alcohol or drugs or some other habit. Lord, whatever that may be, help them to realize that You are a God of mercy and grace and You call them to repentance. Maybe you're here today. Maybe, Lord, there are other needs. Maybe there are just discouraged hearts here who need encouragement. Oh, Lord, encourage them. Fill them with Your Spirit. Let them know that they're not in this alone, but You're with them. Lord, whatever the need is in this entire building with every individual, I pray that when we walk out, all things will be right. In Jesus' name I pray.